once so fair with renown. Think what it means to be lost. Lost from a life only God can supply. Lost from a place in God's palace on high. Lost without Christ forever to die. Think what it means to be lost. Lost like a ship in the wild stormy night. Think what it means to be lost. Lost without pilot or star for a light. Think what it means to be lost. Lost from the life only God can supply. Lost from a place in the palace on high. Lost without Christ forever to die. Think what it means to be lost. Lost like a child from the love of his home. Think what it means to be lost. Helpless, forsaken, in darkness to roam. Think what it means to be lost. Lost from the life only God can supply. And lost from a place in God's palace on high. Lost without Christ forever to die. Think what it means to be lost.
Amen.
Tremendous blessing. If I could have this mic, thank you very much. Tremendous blessing to hear the music this week, and we love your pastor. Brother Smith's a great example to other preachers, one of the most well-balanced pastors I've ever met, and we're looking forward to having him in a few months to our Bible conference in Mexico City, and also having Brother Reed with us again, and we're looking forward to having him preach and teach the pastors in Mexico. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 10. I would like to thank the church for all its kindnesses, the lovely room, the fruit basket, the nice suits, the $10,000 love offering. I'd like to thank you for everything that you've done for us this week. We love and appreciate this church. Our ministry in Mexico could not exist if it was not for churches like this one that pray for us and support us, and we're very, very grateful to you for all that you've done. 2 Samuel chapter 10, let's read verse 1 through 5 if you would. We'll be standing to our feet as we read the word of God, please. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Naish, as his father showed kindness unto me. David sent to comfort him,
by the hand of his servants, for his father and David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search out the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown. I'd like to draw your attention to the first part of verse 6 as well. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you that you'd help us this morning to understand the Bible. Lord, open the scriptures to our hearts. Increase our faith, Lord, through the word of God. Help us to understand a little better our King and the motives and the desire of our King. Help us to trust you, Lord. And because of that, help us to respect and listen to his messengers. God, we ask you that you'd help us to be a blessing to the messengers of the King. God, we ask you that you'd increase the faith and the faith promise giving in this conference. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help us to do more to reach the lost for Christ. Lord, we ask you, if someone is here today that is not sure that they're going to heaven when they die, we ask they might be saved today through faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I was born to a Roman Catholic family. My father was from Italy. My family was very strongly Roman Catholic. They went to Mass 7 days a week. That's unusual even for a Catholic to be that dedicated, to go to Mass 7 days a week. I never heard the gospel growing up. As a young man, we'd moved out to Southern California, and my parents were good moral people, but I was not saved, and in high school began to run with the wrong crowd. I'll not go into details of my life before being saved. I got involved in many things I'll not talk about for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to glorify sin. Number two, because the police are still looking for me. But as a young man, I entered into my bedroom in Carlsbad, California. And I took a rifle from my gun rack and loaded it and put it up to my forehead. I decided to go ahead and take my life. It wasn't worth living. By the way, without Jesus, life is not worth living. I had put my thumb on that trigger and was actually putting pressure on the trigger when the thought came into my heart and my mind. I know now it was the Holy Spirit of God. The question came to me, where do you go after you pull that trigger? And even as a Roman Catholic, we had heard about hell. My desire was to escape my problems, not have worse problems in hell. And thank God I lowered that rifle that day onto my bed. And in the bookshelf, there was an old Catholic Bible that belonged to my mother. I took that Bible down from the bookshelf and began to read the Word of God. And as I read the Bible, I began to see after a period of about 2 weeks that salvation was not through the seven sacraments. Salvation was not through the Church of Rome. Salvation was not through confessing my sins to a man who called himself a father and wore a dress like a mother. I saw salvation was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as a young man, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, no one had witnessed to me. And I'll be quite honest with you, I was confused about a lot of things. I did study my Bible a great deal. I spent probably 2 hours a day reading the Bible. But I was confused about quite a few things. But I was reading one day Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, which of course is the Great Commission. And as I read those verses, God called me to be a missionary. Now, I didn't use that term missionary. I didn't even know what that really was, but I knew God was calling me to a foreign field to preach the Word of God. I'd read some verses about selling all that you have and just having one change of clothes. And so I sold everything that I had, and my parents were kind of well off. So after I sold everything I had, I start to sell some of the things they had as well. I thought God would bless them for it. But at the age of 18, I took off for the mission field. I traveled first through Mexico. I felt God calling me first to Mexico, and traveled through Mexico and into the Yucatan Peninsula and throughout different parts of Mexico. And my desire was to witness to people. Now, you have to understand, I had some strange ideas. I'd seen paintings of Jesus in the Catholic Church with long hair and a beard. And so I had grown my hair long, had a scraggly beard, and just one change of clothes, traveling for months at a time. I was not your typical fundamental independent Baptist missionary. I did not have any results. I talked to people about God, but I was not trained as a soul winner and had no results. I felt maybe I need to go further south. I traveled into Brazil and up the Amazon River. I went into tribes and tried to witness to ex-headhunters. They told me there were ex-headhunters. I hope they were telling the truth. But I had no results. I traveled through South America up into the mountains of Peru. And there, when I was on the streets of Huanuco, Peru, up in the mountains, a young man began to do something no one had done before with me. He began to witness to me. Now, no one had ever witnessed me. I read the book of Acts, how they'd killed James and the apostles and the persecution. I thought they'd killed out all the Christians. I thought I was the only one. But this man began to witness to me. And I didn't speak a lot of Castellano, and he didn't speak a lot of English, but he began to, when he couldn't witness to me properly, he began to say, "You come meet pastor, you come meet pastor." Now, I didn't know what a pastor was. I thought he was talking about somebody taking care of some sheep up in a mountain. And I said, "Okay, someday I'll come meet your pastor." Well, that verse in the book of Luke that says that we should compel them to come in the Spanish Bible it says, "Fuérzalos a venir," force them in. When I said, "Someday I'll come to meet your pastor," he grabbed me by my hair, he whistled, stopped a taxi, and pushed me into the taxi. He meant right now. He took me to meet his pastor, a man by the name of Arthur Gibbs, and Brother Gibbs began to witness to me. He found I was already saved, but he said, "If you're a Christian, then you need to be baptized by a Baptist preacher like Jesus was." You know, I'd read the Bible, and I'd read about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. I said, "Boy, that makes sense." I still remember the first time I walked into church at Brother Gibbs' church in Peru. And I remember he was pastoring and preaching. And I came in, you have to understand, I'd just come out of the jungle of the Amazon. I came in, long hair, beard, one change of clothes, carrying two knives, and carrying a Catholic Bible. And I sat down in the pew, and Brother Gibbs was preaching, and he saw my long hair, and he looked at me, and he started preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's a shame for a man to have long hair. As he looked at me while he was preaching, by the way, I was the only man in the church with long hair, everybody began to turn around in the pews and look at me as well. And then he knew I didn't speak a lot of Spanish, so he started to preach in English. And he went to Revelations and started to preach about the demons that had faces like men and hair like women. Looking at me, preaching in English, and everybody else in the church looking at me as well. I more or less knew who he was talking to. But something in my heart that day said, "This man loves you. This man is God's messenger to you." The Bible says that a wise man loves the person that rebukes him. By the way, my friend, the Bible teaches that a parent that loves his child disciplines his child. My friend, you need to understand, a pastor that loves you, a church that loves you, is not seeking to please men, it's seeking to please God. And a true man of God will preach what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I thank God that day I didn't get mad at the messenger of God. Brother Gibbs began to work with me. He taught me the Bible. He baptized me. He sent me back one day. He said, if you're going to be a missionary, you need to go back to the States and go to Bible college. I said, Brother Gibbs, I'm already on the mission field. I don't want to leave. He said, you need theology. I said, I don't know what that is, but I don't want it. I want to stay on the mission field. He said, you need homiletics. I said, I don't know what that is either, but I don't want it. I want to stay in the mission field. Says, you need the training. I said, I don't want the training. I want to stay here on the mission field. He said, you need a wife. I said, you're right. On that point of doctrine, he convinced me. But he sent me back, and I came back to the States and later led my parents to Christ and went off to Hiles Anderson College, was under the ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles for 5 years in Chicago. And there I met my wife, who had grown up on the mission field. And God sent us back to Mexico, and my life was changed. Before, when I could not win people to Christ, now I could. Before, when I couldn't build a church on my own, now I could, because I was in God's work and listening to the messengers of God who trained and taught me. God works through messengers. Many times the messengers of God are mistreated. The king's messengers are mistreated because the king's motives are misunderstood. David sent messengers to comfort the son of a man who had taken care of him while he was in the wilderness, while he was running from Saul for his life. And now David, out of love, out of kindness, wanted to comfort the young man and help him in establishing his kingdom. But the motives of the king were misunderstood, and therefore the messengers were mistreated and rejected. My friend, you need to understand that the king loves you. And he has sent messengers not to hurt you, but to help you. John chapter 15, look if you would. John chapter 15, we'll use the Bible a good bit. John 15 verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they had persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. The time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. By the way, there are still people giving their lives for the gospel in Mexico. I have a young preacher whose father was stabbed 80 times and murdered for preaching the gospel. 20 minutes from my home in Mexico City, a man, the priest, stood up and told the people, kill him, because he was passing out tracts in the street. And the people stoned him to death. That's not hundreds of years ago, my friend. That's only a few years ago. People are still dying and giving their life for the gospel today. Many Christians don't understand that. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Jesus says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. That's a lot different preaching than the prosperity gospel we hear on TV today, my friend. But that's Bible. And we need to understand sometimes as Christians, in fact, the Bible says, if you want to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. My friend, we need to understand as Christians, at times the messenger will be shamed, will be rejected, because they do not understand the motives of our king. In John 14, verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Son of God says, listen, I have come to comfort you. And I am going to give you another comforter like unto me. The Holy Spirit of God, he says, I want to comfort you. We live in a world of trial and affliction, of heartbreak and sorrow. My friend, if you're not there now, you will be. Jesus says, I've come so that you will not be troubled. I've come to comfort you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He's not building an apartment for us. It's a mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. My friend, nothing should comfort you more than that. I will come again, and I believe it soon, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 6, he says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Not Mohammed. People that say, oh, all religions are alike, my friend, are ignorant and stupid people that have not studied and do not know what they're talking about. Mohammed was a child molester. Mohammed had a 6-year-old wife. He raped little children. He was a murderer and an assassin. People that say, boy, I'm making some friends, I can tell this morning. And it's because of ignorance, my friend. If you go to a library, you check out some books, start reading. Instead of just swallowing this lie about everything's the same and all religions are the same. Muslims believe the best way to go to heaven, by the way, their heaven is a perverse heaven. It's a fornicating heaven for men. And they believe the best way to get to their heaven is to die killing a Christian or killing a Jew. People say, oh, it's all the same. It's not the same. I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says, I've come. I want to take you home with me. I don't want you to be troubled. I want to save you. And my friend, because people misunderstand and misinterpret the motives of our King, the messengers are mistreated. John chapter 3, a very famous verse, very important verse. John 3, verse 16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I was witnessing yesterday to a man. He said, if God is so good, why is there so much crime in the world? Why is there so much sickness in the world? Why is there death in the world? And I said, sir, God made the world a paradise. It was us that ruined it. You want to get mad at somebody today? Get mad at the devil. Get mad at sin. But don't get mad at God. It wasn't his fault. How in the world can we do what we have done and then blame God for it? He's done nothing but good for us. He showed nothing but love for us. And then when we sinned and turned our back on God, God still in his love and mercy sent his Son to save us. We don't understand who he is. We don't understand his love for us. And because of that, we mistreat and we do not love and appreciate the messengers that God sends. Years ago in England, the Queen of England liked to walk the streets of England sometimes. She would put on commoner's clothes and walk the streets to see the needs of the people. One day as the Queen of England was walking, as it often does in London, it began to cloud up and began to sprinkle and began to rain. She walked up to a very nice house and knocked on the door, and a lady opened the door, did not recognize the Queen, and said, yes, what do you need? She said, ma'am, I see that it's beginning to rain and I don't have an umbrella, and I was wondering if you could just please loan me an umbrella. And she looked at her and said, there's always people like you coming asking for something. wanting some kind of favor. Says, all right. She walked in. She brought out an old torn umbrella, one of those umbrellas you open up and there's a wire that pokes you in the eye. Hands her the umbrella, says, here, go ahead and take. Thank you, ma'am. I'll bring this back to you tomorrow. She left. Following day, big cars pulled up. Soldiers pulled up. And a major general of the Army of England stepped out of one of the limousines, walked up to the lady's door, knocked on the door. She opened up, saw all the army, saw all the soldiers. She couldn't believe it. What in the world's happened? The general handed back the umbrella to her and said, the Queen is returning your umbrella. She began to tremble. She began to cry. She was the Queen. I could have had the Queen in my home. I could have helped the Queen. And she began to tremble and to cry. Why didn't I take better care of her? My Bible says what you've done to the least of these, Jesus says, you've done it to me. We need to understand those Indians in the mountains of Chiapas, my friend. It's our responsibility to love them like we would love Jesus. We should support the messengers of God because our King loves us. And if we love Him, we'll be a blessing to His messengers. I'd like you to see a verse that my brother mentioned just a few moments ago. Brother Horton mentioned Romans chapter 10, if you would. We've seen it before in the conference. It won't hurt you to see it again. Romans 10 verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God says to us, I love you. If you'll call on my name, I'll save you. He says, but I know you can't call on me unless I send the messenger to you. And the messenger will tell you that I love you. And he'll comfort you. He'll let you know about the mansion that I'm building you. He'll let you know that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He'll let you know that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the only true God. He says, I'll send you a messenger. And he asked us to help send the messengers. What a privilege, what an honor. Yesterday I was out knocking on doors and soul winning. And I was talked to a young man, his name was Alan. Alan, the first thing he said, I'm an atheist. And I said, Alan, I understand that, but faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Would you allow me to explain to you how to be saved? He said, yeah, I'm willing to listen. And I explained to him the plan of salvation and went through the Romans road with him and used different verses and explained how to be saved. Alan said, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jesus is God, and I don't see how he could be born of a virgin. And I just don't understand that. And I said to him, Alan, if you're right and I'm wrong, I said, when we die, we'll be nothing. Kind of the expression some people have today on their face. We'll be nothing. I said, Alan, if I'm right and you're wrong, I'm going to go to heaven and you're going to go to hell. I said, Alan, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose by believing what I'm telling you. Whereas I would have nothing to gain and everything to lose by believing what you believe. So, well, I just think everything just kind of got here. And I said, I know, Alan, the Big Bang Theory, and I've heard it before. I said, Alan, listen, you know, you think that the universe just came into existence with a big explosion. I said, let me go into your house. Let's turn the gas on in your stove. I'll fill your house with gas, Alan, then look, we'll throw a match through the window. We'll see if the explosion is over, whether or not you have a nicer home that forms. I said, it's ridiculous. Years ago, I was witnessing to an atheist. He said, I don't believe in God. God doesn't exist. I don't believe the Bible. And as I was talking there in Mexico, they like to use a lot of fireworks. And somebody threw one of those big fireworks that's like a quarter of a stick of dynamite. And they threw it pretty close to us, and it went off behind the atheist. And he was telling me, I don't believe in God. And all of a sudden, a big explosion. Boom! And he said, Dios mío, my God. And I said, wait a minute. Didn't you just tell me that there is no God? He said, yeah, but I was scared. You know, there's a time in your life, my friend, when there are no atheists. But I tried to witness to him. I tried to get him saved. It was funny. He didn't want to get saved. But as I witnessed to him, three friends of his came up behind me to work on his car. They'd come up to help him work on his car. And as I was witnessing to Alan, his three friends came up, and I turned around, handed them tracts, and asked them if they wanted to be saved, and all three of them did want to be saved. And Alan had to hear the whole plan of salvation over again. Many times, my friend, people reject the messenger. You have nothing to lose by listening to the messenger of God. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Listen to closely. God doesn't need anything from us. Jesus Christ, he's the creator of the universe. He doesn't need anything from us. David had no ulterior motives for sending the messengers. My friend, listen very closely to what I'm saying today. Your pastor has no ulterior motives for this missions conference. This money is going into missions on the foreign field. There's no ulterior motive here. Some of you just sitting there and somehow you've got this twisted idea that everybody has got some kind of a hidden agenda or hidden motive, my friend. And that kind of thinking will destroy you. This destroyed a nation. Thousands upon thousands died on the battlefield because they thought David had an ulterior motive. Look at Luke chapter 6 very quickly. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. God says if you'll give, you'll supply the needs of missions and give to missionaries and be a blessing to his messengers and to his servants. God says, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Look at Psalms chapter 50, if you would. Psalms chapter 50. No, it's a lot of Bible, but it'll help you. Psalms chapter 50. Look at verse 8, if you would. God says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, God says, I would not tell thee. You know, God has a sense of humor. He says, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to ask you to take me out to lunch. For the world is mine. It's not yours. It's his. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. He says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows. By the way, my friend, it does you no good to make a commitment and not pay it. You'd be better off not making the commitment. Now, if you love God, whenever there's love, there's commitment. Young man that loves a young lady and doesn't just want to use her, a young man that loves a young lady will commit to her in marriage. Where there's love, there's commitment. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. God says, listen, I don't need you. I love you. But I don't need your money. The Jews begin to think in their religious service that somehow they were feeding God. That's paganism. They thought, boy, God needs me. God does not need you. We need him. God says, listen, if you'll trust me, God says, I want to bless you. Faith promise, my friend, is simply trusting God and believing God, being a blessing to God's messengers, and trusting God is because he wants to bless us. I know we've seen the verse before. I like using the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Bible says in verse number 6, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God says, I don't need your money. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God says, I'll bless you. In India, a famous story was told of a beggar that sat in the street. That beggar had in his hand. Good night. Had a basket in front of him. That basket had a bunch of rice in it. That beggar sat there and hoping somebody would come by and give him some money. Before long, the Raja came by. The Raja was known as a generous man. The emperor Raja was a very generous man, a very giving man, and the beggar took heart. He was encouraged because the car and the horses stopped, and the Raja came out of his jeweled carriage and looked down at the beggar, and the beggar looked up to him and hoping, I'm going to get something, I'm going to receive something. And the Raja looked down at him, saw the bowl of rice. He said, give Raja of your rice. The beggar couldn't believe it. Kind of like some of you during Faith Promise Conference. You're asking me? I hoped you'd be giving something to me, and you're asking for the little bit that I have? This is all I have. Raja looked at him, said, give me of your rice. He saw the guards and the soldiers, and because of fear, he took out one grain of rice. With a trembling hand, he handed it to Raja. Raja looked at it discouraged and said to the beggar again, give Raja of your rice. The beggar shaking his hand and trembling, no, this is all I have, Raja. Don't take what little bit I have. I need this. Give Raja of your rice. And once again, because of fear, he took out a grain of rice and handed one more grain of rice. Again, the Raja the third time said, give Raja of your rice. And this time the beggar, kind of like some of you this year, have already decided, I'm not going to increase my faith promise. I'm not going to give one bit more. The beggar said, no, this time, even if you kill me, I'm not giving you any more of my rice. The Raja, discouraged, disheartened, turned around, got in his carriage, and rode off. When he left, the beggar looked at his feet. There under the robe of Raja, as the beggar had given him rice, he had a bag of precious jewels and gems. For each grain of rice he handed Raja, he let a jewel fall to his feet. there in the sand. The beggar understood finally that for every grain of rice he gave him, he was giving him something precious in exchange. The beggar began to cry, "Why didn't I give him all? Why didn't I give him more?" The Bible says someday, my friend, there'll be tears in heaven. When you get to heaven and find out, even if we don't think about the blessings of God in this life. By the way, God's not an ATM machine, my friend. I can't promise to you how he'll bless you or when he'll bless you. If that's your idea of faith promise, that's a charismatic idea, my friend. I'm not talking about that. But I do believe God that he will bless you. I do believe the Bible that he will take care of us. The Bible talks about tears in heaven. And someday Jesus will come and have to wipe away the tears in our eyes. When you get to heaven, you find out what he wanted to do for us and how he wanted to send messengers around the world and preach the gospel and bring people to Christ. But because we wouldn't trust him, because we misunderstood our King. My Bible says about your pastor that you ought to follow his faith. I'll tell you one thing, my friend. If I lived in anywhere in this area, anywhere within an hour of Dallas, I would come to this church. Brother Smith would be my pastor. And I'll tell you one thing. If my pastor got up and said, "Folks, I want you to increase your giving this year for no other reason than I trust the man of God," I'd do it. Now you go ahead and look at me like you're looking at me and do whatever you want to. I don't care. I'm just telling you what I would do. My friend, God blesses us in accordance to how we treat the messengers of God. If you do not listen, my friend, to the messenger of God, you will be destroyed. Look at one last verse, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse 36, if you would. John the Baptist, and know how John the Baptist preaching was the same doctrine as Jesus preached. John 3:16, and now look at John 3:36. John the Baptist says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Note this, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." The messengers of David were shamed. They had the first miniskirts. Their beards were cut off. Half their beard was cut off. You have to understand, to a Jewish male, their beard was a symbolism of their manhood. Half their beard was shaved off. They were reproached and mocked. And my friend, in those times, what you did to the messenger showed your disrespect to the king. And the Ammonites, when they did this, they said, "We stink in the eyes of David." My friend, if you reject the messenger of God, you do not respect the messenger that the king sends, the wrath of the king is upon you. You say, "Well, I just want to see some kind of miracle." That's what the thief on the cross wanted too. If you're the Son of God, save thyself. And the world's philosophy is always, save thyself. Save your money. Save thyself and us also. Another thief looked at Jesus and said, at the beginning, they both mocked Jesus. I mentioned that to Alan yesterday. Beginning, they both, but one thief said, "There's something different about this man. He's forgiving the people that are killing him. There's something." That other thief said, "I think he is the Son of God." And he said, I think he said to himself, what have I got to lose? Amen. What have I got to lose? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. If you'll receive the messenger of God, my friend, and you'll trust the greatest messenger God ever sent was Jesus Christ, his own son. And if you'll trust the son, the love of the king will be yours. The home of the king will be yours. The blessing of the king will be yours. But if you reject the messenger, the wrath of God abideth upon you. The decision is yours. Live under the blessing of God. Love, respect, and trust the messengers that God sends to you to be a blessing to you. I believe with all my heart, Brother Smith, the only reason he's having this conference, my friend, is to be a blessing to you and your family. The only way I came this week, I plan to help some of the missionaries here at this conference. I hope we can help the Hortons. I want to help some of these missionaries here. Trust me, my friend, I am not making anything out of this week. Our offerings tend to drop $2,000 any Sunday that I'm gone. I'm not here for any financial reason. Your pastor did not have this conference to try and hurt you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. I hope you'll trust the messengers. If you're here today and you're not sure where you're going when you die, God loves you. He wants to save you, and Jesus is the only one that can save you. I hope that you'll trust Jesus as Savior today. Not a church, not a religion, but Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same Jesus that saved the thief on the cross will save you if you'll ask him to today. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to understand that you're our Creator, that you don't need us, that you want to help us, you want to bless us. Help us to trust you, Lord. God, help us to respect and be a blessing to the messengers that you send. Help us to support their ministries. Help us to be a blessing to them and to their families, Lord. God, we know that what we do to the messengers shows our love and respect to the King. God, we